WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
Cut, Duke. Cut, cut. Thank you, Duke. Appreciate that. Hi, folks. Martin Zender here again. Because of time restraints, I'm going to go right into part two of my 2001 interview with Ted Elm of WWJC in Duluth, Minnesota, on the subject of quitting church without quitting God. If you missed part one, you can catch it. It's archived at www.martinzender.com. Here we go. Joined in progress.
Martin, why not just work within the system? Why not go to church and try to reform, change within instead of being outside the box?
Well, of course, that's an option, but I think it's gone too far. I think that it's too late for reform. And I would say, did Jesus try to reform the Jewish institution of his day? I looked to that time for a lot of parallels of what's going on today. And I didn't see Jesus reforming them. I saw him pushing over their tables. And I heard him say that those who want to worship the Father now worship in spirit and in truth. He didn't say, go back into the institution and try to tell them how it is. They were so far gone that they killed their own Messiah.
Yeah. So, obviously, you don't see yourself as a reformer. Do you see yourself as a revolutionary?
Exactly. You know, and I hate to say I see myself, because I don't put up myself as some kind of leader or a head. I'm not. As I said, I'm in the boat with everybody else. I kind of feel like, you know, the kid that pointed out the emperor in the story of the emperor's new clothes. It says, hey, look, the emperor is naked. Mm-hmm. And it took a kid to say it, and everybody else started, yeah, you know, we thought that ourselves, but nobody had the guts to say it. So rather than a reformer, I like to think of myself as the audacious child who points things out that are obvious to everybody, but that nobody has the courage to say.
What has been the response to your book so far?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, it surprised me, because anytime I speak on this, I get my armor on. You know, I'm just ready to take for the big fight. But I found this to be so, that as soon as I talk about this topic, people that I thought would really be antagonistic to it, they're saying, you know, you have some good points, and I've wondered about that myself. And again, there are many, I have scriptures in my book. I love the Word of God. I'm a scholar, and I have scriptural backup for everything I say concerning the church. And when people start looking at, I'm finding that there's more people than we think who are disgruntled, dissatisfied, but who have been waiting, I think, for somebody to take the stand, and then they're all going, yeah. So I've been surprised by the reaction.
My guest this morning is Martin Zender, an accomplished essayist, and he is the author of the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, 7 Reasons to Escape the Box. Well, what are some of the reasons for escaping the box? You have 7 of those.
Well, the first one, of course, is that God doesn't live in a box. That seems the most obvious, but that's a revelation to some people even still, that God doesn't. Again, that's what they told me in the Catholic Church, that he lived in that box. And, of course, God is much bigger than that. He's spinning the planets. Another reason, church, as I alluded to, church digs people into spiritual ruts. It's very easy to get caught up into your denomination and not be able to think outside of that. Church binds people to clocks and buildings. You know, some people think that you cannot worship God outside of the institution. That might be an extreme. I'm not saying that applies to everyone, Ted, but that is a temptation to think that, well, okay, you've got to hurry up and go to church. You know, if people are rushing their kids around, and I think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Again, reason 4, I said, I don't think Jesus himself would, quote, go to church. We know church is a people. You don't go to people. You gather with people. And, again, that can happen anywhere. These reasons get more, radical as we go.
So let's look at reason 5. The Christian religion is confusing and full of hypocrisy. Well, I think most people would agree there are hypocrites in the church, but what part is confusing about the Christian religion?
I think it's confusing people's conception of God, and that's what really, I think, set me off to write this book. God is advertised as gracious and loving, and if you come here, then God's going to take care of everything, and you don't need to do anything. It's the advertisement is, come here and you won't need to do anything. It's all God. And that sounds so good to so many people. And then they get there And then it sounds so good, but then they find out, well, if you come here Wednesday and get baptized, you know, that'll help things out. If you tithe, if you stay true to God, if you believe in the right way, if you say the sinner's prayer, then it's all going to work out. And people throw their hands up and they say, well, wait a minute. You told me it was all God. Now the pressure's on me. That's the confusion I'm talking about. And really, I think it's the reason why the world runs.
Do you find,
runs from the Christian religion.
Martin, do you find anything within organized religion that's positive, that's uplifting?
Well, I'll say this for the Catholic Church, Ted, is that they hung the crucifix over the altar. By that I knew that the death of Christ was huge. There was something very, very vital and important about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But again, they never told me what it was. They denied that he had even done anything, because I had to keep confessing my sins every month and say the prayers to be right with God again. But, okay, organized religion, I think, offers emotional comfort and social comfort. But I can get the same kind of comfort at another kind of organization. You know, someone once told me, but they said, Martin, I feel so good in my church. I just feel this aura of quiet and stillness. And I said to them, well, I feel the same way at Barnes & Noble. You know, I have no problem. If it was only a social organization, Ted, I would have no problem with it. If it was only a place to come and get a hug and a handshake and a donut, that would be fine. But this organization presents itself as the answer, the window to God. We will tell you how God is. That's where my objection kicks in. So I think the advantages, the social advantages, are far outweighed by the negative image of God people get because of the institution.
You're not a reformist. You mentioned you're actually a revolutionary type, and you'd like to see those changes. But if you were a reformer, what would you like to see happen inside the institution of the church?
I hardly ever think in terms of reform, but, you know, I think my reform would start with the church signs outside on the grass. I get so frustrated with some of the church signs I see.
They're pretty negative, aren't they?
They are pretty negative. I saw one that said, you know, obey the fourth commandment. In other words, you better get your hiney in here or you're in big trouble. I would put out a sign that says, no matter if you never set your foot in this building again, God loves you. You know, and I see church signs that says, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah. Payday's tomorrow.
Yeah. The wages of sin is death. And yet, the very next part of that verse says, yet the gift of, you know, it talks about the gift of life through Jesus Christ. So I would begin by advertising correctly. I would advertise that sin is no longer keeping you from God. Now, there's a message.
Yeah.
That's how I would get people into my church. I would start advertising consistently. I wouldn't promise them pie in the sky and then give them a plate full of mud and confusion.
Yeah. My guest, Martin Zender, and he's the author of the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. And the book is published by, is it Starkey and Hartman?
Stark and Hartman.
Stark and Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
I see the book is dedicated to your sister. Why did you dedicate the book to your sister?
Oh, she's, besides my wife, she's my soulmate. We've sought the Lord together. A lot of our beliefs and our walk has paralleled over the years. She grew up with me, of course, in the Catholic Church, and we both came out of it at the same time. The Spirit of God yanked us out of the pew.
Yeah. Are you finding other people quitting other denominations as well as you as a Catholic? Have you found other religions, other people from other denominations that are quitting church?
Oh, yeah, not just the Catholic, but right. You know, it seems to be that people now, after they leave a so-called strict religion, maybe the Catholic is more of a strict religion than the Lutheran or whatever, people tend to go into the Pentecostal-type churches where there's a lot more excitement. You know, all of a sudden they're taken out of the pew and they're, you know, hung from the ceiling and they're dancing around and they think, this is it, this is the answer. But I think that as they go on, they find that it's really not the answer, that there's a lot of emotions there, and there's not much substance necessarily. And so I think that people are leaving that as well. I think it's a progressive walk for people. They go from a strict religion, the religion of their forefathers, to a more freeing religion, but then not finding real answers there, they're moving on. And I think this is reflected in the baby boomers. The whole generation of people have gone from leaving the church of their parents, finding their, quote, individuality in the Pentecostal church, and then eventually becoming dissatisfied with that and looking for something else. The problem is a lot of them are being snared in by the New Age movement, because I think these people think that it's either the organized religion or a life without Jesus. See, they think, they don't see that Jesus Christ is outside of the institution. They don't see that they can leave the institution and still have Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's where my book comes in, to help these people to see that you certainly can thrive spiritually.
And that's where, in some church situations, the parishioners will call their pastor when they need something done for their neighbor or for a friend. They won't do it themselves.
Right.
They rely on the pastor to do everything for them.
Right. Which, you know, if the pastor is a wise man, then that can be a very good thing. But I remember talking to people who have said, you know, for some reason I can talk to my friends. I can't talk to my pastor, but I have friends that I can talk to, and they feel that maybe that's not official. Maybe my friend doesn't have a diploma on his wall. He doesn't have letters after his name, so he must not know what the pastor knows. That is so false.
Of the seven reasons to escape the box, again, we're talking with Martin Zender, and he is the author of the book How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. The seventh reason, the last one, there's no place like home. Why is that one reason to escape the box?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's maybe the most important reason, but it just gives you a looser atmosphere. And I say that loose in the best sense of the word. It's a place where you can be, where you don't feel the pressure, where you don't feel the need to perform. And I look at the scriptural precedent, and I have a lot of scripture in my book that talks about the wonderful things that happened at home. Jesus raised from the dead at home. Jairus' daughter, he raised at home. Paul ministered to the Philippian jailer at home. You know, Jesus stilled the sea. He didn't do that at home, but he did it outside of the institution. Paul speaks of the believers that meet in the homes. We know that when Peter was released from jail, he escaped and he went to a home where people were praying for him. And so in Scripture even, that seems to be the place. It doesn't have to be there, though. It could be in a Walmart parking lot.
My guest,
two or three are gathered.
My guest again, Martin Zender, just a minute or so left here, Martin. What is it that you want the reader to take away from reading your book, Martin?
What I want them to take away is that our God is big. He is bigger than any of us have thought or dared dream. And I think that the religions of men limit God. That is one common thing that they all have in common, is that they paint God into a box. They tell him that he's going to do, they tell people that this God is going to do so much and no more. And that angers me, because we have not even conceived of how great God is and how wonderful he is.
My guest, Martin Zender, he is the author of the book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Seven Reasons to Escape the Box. The book is published by Stark and Hartman. For people wanting more information about this book and about some of your other writings, do you have a website, a phone number? What do you have?
Yeah, I have a website, simply enough, at martinzender.com. And people can order online there. You can go into your bookstore if you want. If the book's not in stock, you can request it, but it might be easier for you to order online. Again, it's martinzender.com.
Okay, again, the title is How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Seven Reasons to Escape the Box. The author is Martin Zender. I want to thank you, Martin, for joining us on today's program.
Thank you, Ted. I've enjoyed myself.
Thanks. Back in a minute.
Thanks for listening, folks. I hope Dan Sheridan is back with us on Monday. Remember, believe in God in spite of what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zender. Have a great weekend.